Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So welcome to church this morning. In addition to the notices that you will have seen on the screen, there are a couple of additional things that I'm going to announce. There will be a book signing and reading event at the Hope Centre in Macclesfield on Tuesday the 25th at 7 o'clock. This is will be done by Graham Turner, who is a former rector of the Church of England in Macclesfield, and he's author of a book called Embarrassed, Living with a Faith That Makes No Sense to My Friends. So all are welcome if you wish to go and hear him read some of his book. It will be Helen Lee's funeral on the 25th, that's a Tuesday at 12 noon, and that service will be led by Reverend Ian White, who has local links at Wood Lane. As you go out, there's a card. Fiona has a special birthday coming up, so if anybody would like to sign the card.
21.
I think she might be 22, actually, Judy. But yes, if anybody would like to sign her card, it's just outside. And just to remind you all that we are providing a lunch today, so whether or not you have signed up for it, you're very welcome to stay. So I hope you will, because we've cooked 40 jacket potatoes and only 25 people signed up. So you're all very welcome to stay. And now Mandy is preparing to lead our worship.
Can I start by saying that I wasn't expecting any children? They are going to be taken care of. Panic not. Let's just be still for a moment. I wonder if you remember or know what Jesus' final words were to his disciples. Lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Anybody recognize the banner? Who inspired it? No? Somebody said it.
Marie.
Marie had a picture about this big that she used to look at that is similar to that, very similar. The words are the same. And if anybody was inspired and knew God, it was Marie. So we made a banner to match the picture, which now hangs in my bedroom. So when I'm down, I turn on my left-hand side and look at it. God speaks to us in so many ways. And that's the theme of our service today. And there are five people, I think, going to speak. Thank you to them before they speak. Some are very used to coming up here and speaking. Some aren't. And good on them, those who are not and who are worried. Good on them. So God speaks to us. So our first hymn is, God is here as we, his people, meet to offer praise and prayer. So I posed the question, how does God speak to us today? The idea for the service started when I was reading this book. You might recognize it. It's the book we shared in Advent and Christmas. It's the book we use for our Advent and some of our Christmas worship, Women of the Nativity. I shared the last story, the story of Anna, at the Wednesday service. Do you remember? 40 days after Jesus was born, he was taken to the temple by Mary and Joseph. It was the Jewish law. Mary had to bathe in water, specially blessed water, so that she was purified after childbirth. And Mary and Joseph had to take Jesus to be dedicated. And it's here, after all this, as they're leaving the temple, we think, that Anna and Simeon recognize Jesus as the promised Messiah. How did they know with such certainty? A baby? Answer that one. But many, many years before, Anna had asked herself, and I'm reading some of what's in the book. Anna asked herself, I always wondered what it was like when God spoke. The prophets in the scriptures mention God speaking to them as though we all know what that's like. Did they see something like Isaiah saw in the temple? Did they have a vision? Isaiah 6 tells us this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And Isaiah goes on to describe the seraphims that were in there, calling to each other, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, apparently, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah feels totally unworthy. Woe to me, he cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to him and touched his lips with a piece of live coal, and Isaiah was forgiven. Then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, Here I am. Send me. And Isaiah's life is totally changed, and he becomes one of the most famous prophets in the Old Testament. But what was that? A vision? A dream? Certainly changed the life of Isaiah. But then Anna asks herself again. Did people hear something? A voice whispering in their ears? Remember the story of Eli and Samuel? Do you remember that? Very famous childhood story, really, isn't it? Eli is a priest at the shrine at Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. So a very special place. But things were not going well for the Jews. And a young boy, Samuel, cared for Eli, who by now was so weak he could hardly see. Then the Lord called Samuel in the night And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, thinking it was Eli who'd spoken. But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he did. But this happens 3 times. And then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" The Lord came calling again, "Samuel, Samuel." So Samuel spoke, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And God gives Samuel a warning message for his master Eli. And in the end, all is well. But Anna continues. She won't give up. She says, "So did people have a vision, a voice? Or was there a gossamer thin silence like Elijah reported on Mount Horeb?" Elijah is terrified. He's fleeing from Queen Jezebel. And this is what it says. "As the Lord approached Mount Horeb, a very powerful wind tore the mountains apart. It broke up the rocks, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire came, but the Lord wasn't in them. After the fire, there was a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his coat over his face. He went out and stood at the entrance to the cave and listened. And God gave him instructions." But this is what made me laugh. Anna continues, "I asked my husband, 'What do you think it feels like when God speaks?' 'I've never thought about it,' he said. 'Well, wouldn't you like to think about it?' 'Not really,' was the answer." Men, hey, men. I hope that's not your answer, for it certainly made me think. And then Anna's husband dies and she sinks into depression. And the story continues. "It was in the darkness that the word of the law came to me. I realized my question had been all wrong. When it came, the word of the Lord was like nothing I'd ever experienced. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a silence or a sound. It was like all of these things or none of them. It was a knowing that formed deep within me. A knowing that formed deep within her." But these people are called to be prophets. Remember, a prophet is someone who predicts the future events. For example, Isaiah predicted the coming of the Messiah. But importantly, they proclaim God's truth to the present situation, addressing social injustices and calling for ethical living. A prophet foretells and forthtells, foretells and forthtells. And of course, there are still prophets today. And maybe one is among us. We're not all called to be prophets, of course, but I do believe that God speaks to each and every one of us in a variety of ways. And that was the challenge that I threw out How does God speak to us today? Would anybody answer? Well, the first two who answered said, well, we can't be there that Sunday. Great. But then somebody did offer, Judith. If you'd like to use that lectern, please. How does God speak to Judith? Just for you.
Well, really, follow that. No thunder, no lightning, no mountains, no earthquakes. I'll tell you how it made me think about it. I was listening to Desert Island Discs on Friday morning. I do like that programme. And I suddenly realised that programme was, or our service was going to be a sort of a reflection of that programme and following the same format. They speak about songs that have meant something to them in their lives, and we're going to talk about hymns that have meant something in our lives. And one day we will be cast away, figuratively speaking. But at the end of this morning together, we shall hopefully, I'm looking forward to sharing other people's stories and listening to their take on life and what's been good in their lives and what's helped them, just like it does on the Desert Island Disc programme, which leaves me always feeling uplifted, actually. And if you notice, Lauren Laverne always says, thank you so much to whoever has done it. Her last words are on that programme, thank you so much for sharing. And so I think this applies hopefully to us all today. We're going to share and hopefully thank you. And thank you is my theme. The hymn I've chosen is, Come Ye, if you want to put it up, it might make sense, please. Is Come Ye Thankful People Come, 1, 2, 3 in the hymn book. I looked up this morning thinking, just refreshing myself on the words in it because I do like it. And it's written by Henry Alford. And it comes under the heading of Times and Seasons. Not harvest, I was interested in that, I hadn't noticed that before. But it comes under the heading of Times and Seasons. And I think our life, we go through times and seasons just like the crops do, people do in their lives. And so we were singing this hymn a few weeks ago. And I suddenly realised that the words meant so much to me. I'd actually, so we're starting at my life now. I've been tidying up my affairs, just in case, you never know how long you're going to have. And on one service we sang this hymn, probably at the harvest actually in September. And as we sang it in church, I suddenly realised the words were appropriate to life and us and living, not just to potatoes and wheat and barley. And it suddenly realised that looking back on my life, because I've been reviewing the situation, how thankful I had, and that is, come ye thankful people, come. And I thought, I'm a thankful person. And so I'm thankful for the events in my life, which I will put into three pointers. One, a happy, stable family life when I was growing up, I was blessed. Secondly, I enjoyed the job I accidentally fell into, which was organisation and secretarial work. And those skills have stood me in very good stead through the rest of my life. And then meeting Philip, my husband, through dancing. And then we had 34 years together, two lovely children and 34 very happy years. So all had gone reasonably well in my life. But then in 2000, Philip was diagnosed with mesothelioma, which is cancer of the lungs, and it's incurable, and he hadn't got very long to live. So suddenly, everything changed. But I didn't realise at the time, I knew he had a strong faith, he was much stronger than me then, and he shared some of his faith with you. Again, I found out retrospectively, after he died, you said what a lovely person he'd been. Well, I knew that as well, but you all thought it as well. But how strong his quiet but unspoken faith had been. And I didn't have that. I just was me getting on with living, and that was okay. So he was strong, but then when we found out he was poorly, I was really frightened. I felt helpless. All the emotions, many more, inadequate, and he'd got 6 months to live. And this was at the start of the 6 months, really. It was really quite frightening. And one night when I was praying, as I always did, I said, please, you can't make him better, God, I understand that, but please just help us all get through this in the best way possible for everybody. Help me, make me strong, carry me through the next few unknown months, because I don't know what to do.
And there's someone in bed that night, and suddenly I had no lightning, no angels, no drums, the ceiling didn't fall down. I just sort of was in a quiet moment, and I suddenly felt something descend on me. Can't describe it, and I've never felt it since, but I do remember it. It was like a buzzing, a tingling, and I really felt that peace was settling over me. As I say, nothing exciting, just this quiet reassurance that I was would not be alone and God would be with me. And I really felt that was when God spoke to me and reassured me that I was not alone and he would carry me through where necessary and I would be all right. We would all be all right in our very different ways. And I felt so much stronger and better about that. And so the last few months were good in a funny but loving way. And we made it to the end of Philip's journey. And although he might have been physically weak, boy, was he faith-wise strong, I suppose we could describe it. So the last 25 years on my own have been good, but good in a different way. God has been good to me. I've been reviewing my life, and I realise how thankful I am for all the things that happened with my life before Philip, with Philip, and after Philip, in three parts. And I think it's so important, actually, to acknowledge how thankful we should be. I hadn't realised how thankful I was till I was making out my will and putting my affairs in order and realised how blessed I had been. And we don't think of we're being blessed at the time, we're just busy living. But now I am so thankful. And when we sang this hymn last September, I thought, that's what I feel, that's my life, that's what we should all, I would like to think, be thankful for. So I want to share my enthusiasm with you for being thankful for what you've got now in the here and now, and tell people how thankful you are. We're not very good at saying thank you. Lauren Reverne is, when she says thank you every week, but how often do we say thank you or acknowledge what is good? We cope with the bad, but thank you, Lord, for being there with the good. So my hymn is, as I say, come ye thankful people, come. Raise a song of harvest home, all are safely gathered in. Now this is going to be my funeral hymn. It's on my request to my children, my funeral hymn. But I think it should be sung again and again to remind us how thankful we could all be and should all be for what God gives us. We're all on a journey. We're all going to the final destination. And this isn't just about wheat and potatoes. If you sing the words and read them as I did, I could see people and life and living in those words. And I think Henry Alford had the same idea when he wrote it. Since it now comes under times and seasons, it doesn't necessarily just have to be sung at harvest. It's applicable throughout the year. So please sing with enthusiasm the hymn that will be at my funeral. Sadly, I will not be there, but I do enjoy it. And be thankful and think about being thankful, because it makes life so much better for you when you are thankful. And I'd like you to sing with gusto, please. It's a dress rehearsal, but not just yet. Not just yet. Not just yet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think Judith echoes really Anna's words, a knowing that formed deep within her. No, but doesn't it relate to you? A knowing that formed deep within her, and how true it is that we should be thankful. And there's somebody else who wants to speak and is thankful. Marion.
Right, this is just a short one. How Jesus speaks to me. It is by a few things. When I'm out walking and I can hear the birds singing, when all the flowers are out, he's there with me, enjoying it all. When I'm in charge, church, and I look at the banners, especially the one about the wall, well-used Bible, I think he is telling me to use mine a lot more. At the Monday prayer group, we use our daily bread book. There are some really good stories in it. I think he's there helping me when it comes to my turn to read. He's telling me you can do it, as I get a bit tongue-tied sometimes. So I've picked hymn number 76, Give Me Joy in My Heart. He is telling me to do all these things.
I think he speaks to Marion as he does to many of us through the beauty of nature. Gives us that sense of awe and wonder. And that thought that this can't all be by chance. There's got to be a creator behind this. And he speaks to us in church through the banners. There we are again. Linda, be encouraged. And then in the house group, he gives her courage, saying, you can do it. And I think this morning he's given her courage because she was really, really nervous. But he told her, you can do it. And all this gives her joy and peace and encouragement. So here's Marion's hymn. Thank you.
See you.
And then I spoke to another person who also commented on the beauty of nature. And very sadly, she's not well enough to be here today. That's Carol Clark. Those of you who may not know her, she's the lady who sits in a wheelchair, who has the most beautiful smile. But her son-in-law's here, and he said to me, "Will you summons me?" So I summons you, sir.
So I'm reading this on behalf of my mother-in-law, Carol Clark. She's not seriously ill, please don't panic. She's just woken up with low blood pressure, so she's spending the morning in bed, and we'll pop round to see her this afternoon. But she thought long and hard how to respond to Mandy's request. And even if she was here today, because she's quite a shy, retiring person, she wouldn't have actually wanted to come up the front here and read it. But the duty falls to me. So this is her response. Mandy has asked us how God speaks to us. My own experiences are the following. When my husband died, I was grieving and trying to cope, but I felt a presence that I cannot explain near me, and I have never felt alone since. The love of my loving, caring family, friends, and our church community, prayers were offered for me on many occasions, which have uplifted me. The wonder of nature for whatever happens in life. It continues, and each season has its own splendor. I always feel uplifted whenever I've walked or I have a boat trip on the canal. The hymn that I have chosen is "For the Beauty of the Earth."
I think before we sing this, we ought to pray for Carol. Can you just come back again, please? My impressions of Carol Clark are someone who always smiles. What has life thrown at Carol Clark? A lot. And yet she comes in here and she smiles. What do you attribute that to? Where does she get her courage from?
It's amazing the depth of faith she has. If I was to bring in her medical records, I'd probably need a van to deliver them and probably about 10 people to carry them. Everything that's happened to her over the last 20 years, to be born with a condition, polycystic kidneys, which, you know, is very difficult to live with. She's had other issues on top of that, which have made life very difficult. But whenever you see her, she always seems happy, she always smiles, she always cares about other people. No matter how difficult life is for her, she's always asking about other people, and she worries a lot about other people. But it's obvious, really, that she gets her faith to help her and to support her in everything she does. And that faith is incredibly strong. And it's sort of like a role model to everybody else. Because when you're feeling down yourself about something, or you've got a minor worry, and then you meet her with all her issues, and you get this amazing uplift, and you think, gosh, if she can cope with that and still have a faith and still be strong, then where does that leave us?
How true. God speaks through other people and speaks very powerfully, I think, through other people. Let's pray for Carol before we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Carol. We thank you for her beautiful smile and the encouragement she gives to all of us. We pray for her healing, Lord. We pray that her blood pressure will rise and that she will regain her strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we sing Carol's hymn, "For the Beauty of the Earth." love of nature flows through Christine.
When Mandy first mentioned this to me, my very first thought was of Lyme Park. So I have lived in High Pointon now for decades, and for almost all of that time, I've had two dogs, although I've only got one now. But that means a lot of dog walking. And at least once or twice every week, I go up to Lyme Park. Now, a lot of you might know this footpath, but as you go from Lyme Park up the hill, through the grassland to Windgather, and then down the hill to Nelson Pit Car Park, you have a magnificent view of the Cheshire Plain, over to the hills in Wales, over to the wind turbines in Lancashire. And that is surmounted by a wonderful sky, the most amazing clouds that you can see over such a big distance. In spring and summer, early summer, there will be skylarks. And I often stop and look and try and see the skylarks as they go higher and higher. And so the first piece of music that came to my mind when Mandy asked me this question was The Lark Ascending by Vaughan Williams. Because whenever I hear that, I think of walking in Lyme Park and thinking how wonderful the world is. So I've also got something else that I wanted to talk about. Do you want me to do that now?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is something completely different, which just came to me a week or so after Mandy had first mentioned this question to me. Now, for anybody who's been in the same room as me when politics has started to be discussed will know that I'm likely to go into a prolonged rant about my dislike for Donald Trump and everything he stands for. But I'm not actually going to do that. I'm just going to spare you that. I'm just going to say that there are a couple of things that have been really annoying me recently since his election campaign started. So one thing is the way that he has started to use the Bible to support his views. His interpretation of the Bible does not align with my interpretation of the Bible. The other thing that I don't like is the way that politicians and people in the media, that are politicians and politicians from other countries, who have made negative comments about him in the past, have suddenly reconsidered and changed their minds and now think he's a really quite nice fellow. So I, bearing this in mind, I was really quite surprised a couple of weeks ago to be listening to the news and to hear the Bishop of Washington, Bishop Marion Budd, make this speech. Actually, it was a sermon. So she started off, "Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you, and as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country. We're scared now. The people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labour in poultry farms and meat packing plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals. They may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbours. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, gurdwara and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here." So I thought these comments were respectful of his position and were polite towards him. There was no names calling or mudslinging in that. And listening to her speak, it made me really proud to be a Christian, because the God that she speaks about a God of mercy and compassion, is the God that I believe in. And I also think that simply the fact that she was brave enough to speak out, and apparently it's not the first time she's done so, she's spoken out about President Trump previously. I just think she was brave to do so. She might not be a bishop for that much longer, but that's another question.
So God speaks through people who are brave enough to speak out. Yes? Thank you. I too was very moved by Bishop Budd. And was it very soon afterwards we celebrated Holocaust Day? Quite rightly, we were taken across to Poland, weren't we? And the awful things that happened in the Holocaust were described. And we all feel so sad. But then, when I see what the Jews are now doing to the people of Gaza, and I was willing the following day for somebody to stand up and support them. As far as I'm aware, well, I didn't hear anybody. But there's two sides to that, aren't there? And they're equally awful. People who speak out the truth as we see it written in the Bible. And then I asked Rita Drew. Again, some of you might not know Rita. She sits quietly at the front every week. Well, not so quietly if you go and speak to her. She's got a lot to say, bless her. Dare I ask you how old you are?
94. When Mandy asked me to speak, I thought about it and said, I can't hear very well, and I don't always hear what people say when they're preaching, but I can follow the hymns because they're on and I can read them. And I can follow the readings, so I do quite well. And if I hear a little bit of the prayers, I can always do my own prayers. So that's how I do. But as I'm sitting at the front, the thing that really speaks to me are the banners, because I can look at those, and particularly this one about the Bible. And if it's well worn, it's by somebody that's very well together. So the other thing I said to Mandy is not so much the Bible that inspires me, but it's the people I meet who are Christians and who by their words and by their deeds, they speak to me and make me want to be like them. And I've met so many over my years in this church and St. George's, because I go to Livingwell there, and there's somebody there that really inspires me. And I really appreciate these people that keep me going, because I've got people in this church who come to see me and who bring me to church and do things for me. And I've got people from St. George's who else have also helped me and do the shopping and things. So I'm very, very blessed in the people that I know and in my church. And what's all I wanted to say? I'm also very, very aware of the climate change. Not for myself, because I won't be here much longer, but for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And one of the things I do because my kettle, when you fill it over the elements, it's too much for one cup of tea. So I keep a flask at the side, and the rest of the water I pour into it, because I can always then use it for something else later on. And the other thing I do in the summer, because I don't like to have things that are going to travel too far, so I have quite a lot of fruit in my garden, and I pick all that in the summer, and I freeze it all, and I freeze, like our strawberries and raspberries, although mostly I have enough of those in my garden. I don't know if this year I'm going to be able to pick, but up to now I've managed. And I keep as much vegetables and that of homegrown, so that I don't have things that are coming miles and miles, you know, air miles. I think that's about all I was going to. Oh, I was going to say that I also thank everybody that does help me.
I get the impression that there's one person in particular in this church who's inspired you, am I right?
Richard, yes, because I'm very, very aware of climate change. And I'm sad to say that some of the younger members of my family are not very good at doing the things that I think they should be doing. But there we are. I try to get on at them.
I'm absolutely sure that you inspire them. But I'm sure she inspires, well, us and her family. I had to phone Richard because Rita wanted to sing one of Richard's hymns. And I told him why I needed it. So he replied with the hymn. So I hit back at him and said, well, how would you respond to my question? And a few days went past and I thought, oh, I'm not going to get a reply. And then I got this. Following on from my Christmas Day message that God is within us, I expect God to speak from deep within me. Prayer is a time when I stop and listen to what this God is asking of me. It's got very little to do with me making demands of God. God speaks through my deepest emotions and thoughts. I probably pray most deeply and regularly when I'm out running and have a space to just be. And listen to this. God also speaks very powerfully when I see other people responding authentically to the God within them. I wonder who he was thinking of. Sorry?
Wearing a red coat.
So, whoops. The hymn that Rita has chosen is Like a Caterpillar Feeding.
Thank you.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many, many ways that you speak to us through creation, through other people, through the Bible, through books, through banners and art. So many ways, Lord. Forgive us when we fail to listen and fail to act on what you are saying. Forgive us. In a moment's silence, make your confession. We trust, Lord, just as the poor man dying on a cross next to yours, who trusted in you, received forgiveness. We trust that same forgiveness is offered to us. And we thank you. Give us the strength to start again and be faithful to your word, however we receive it. In the silence, we remember those people in such need at this time, those known to us, the sick, the bereaved, the anxious. Be with them in the power of your Spirit. And we pray for our world in such need. We think in particular of Gaza and Israel, of Ukraine and Russia. And we pray for politicians everywhere, including those in America, who have loud voices. We pray that you will speak your words of reconciliation to them, that they will work for this. We pray, Lord, for peace. We pray for the politicians meeting today representing Europe. Grant them your wisdom. Give them your words. And we pray, Lord, for this, our church, We thank you for all the people who are working so hard while we have no minister. People prepared to walk the extra mile for you. We thank you that we can share lunch together today. We ask you to be in every conversation around the tables, to encourage one another, to be there for one another, but most of all, to be with you. We ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. God speaks to us through words, and you'll hear about that next week. This was an own arrangement service, so it's been over to you. But next week it's my service again, so I'm throwing it over to you again. Because the people who couldn't be here, one in particular has an amazing story that I just want you to hear and respond to. So if there's anybody else who's now encouraged to speak next week, just tell me. But we're going to listen to Margaret and Phil and Bernie and anyone else. The floor is open again. We're going to end. Margaret doesn't want to speak herself, but she's written her words down that I can say, and you'll hear them next week. But then she wrote to me a second time, and she's written a hymn without being asked. So we end our service with Margaret's hymn, "Our Loving Father Knows Our Needs."
Thank you.
that beautiful? Yes?
Yes.
Thank you, Margaret. We'll be singing it again next week. Let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please sit down. God speaks to us in many ways, sometimes through other people's books, other people's words. And I want to encourage you. I'm not making any money out of this. Sounds as though I am. For Lent, to buy this book and use it every day. It's called On the Bible's Back Roads, When Old Stories and Our Stories Meet. And it's written by Robert Green. Would you like to come and speak to it?
I'll have to say a couple of words.
Thank you.
Can we get free signed copies?
Yes, yeah, signed copy be by
one. Did somebody say free? For a small fee. Yeah. If I was Ernie Wise, I would say this is the book What I Wrote. It's a great privilege to me that we usually go to this church at Lent. We've been thinking today about how God speaks to us. He does speak to us through the Bible in all sorts of ways. And this book really is focusing on a number of the sort of bit part players who don't figure, you know, it's not Abraham or Moses or Jesus or Paul. It's some of the sort of less well-known characters. Ruth's in there, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. Various people that Jesus met in his ministry, some people who appear in the book of Acts. And culturally, we might have changed enormously. You know, 2,000 years ago, as somebody wrote, the past is a different country. They do things differently there. And yet, fundamentally, human nature hasn't changed, has it? We think and feel the same things. And so that's really the rationale behind the book. If you'd like get a copy, you can get one online. You can go to the dark side and get it from Amazon. I always get Wetherspoons and Waterstones mixed up. So you can't get it from Wetherspoons, but you can get it from Waterstones online. Or various other places, or you can get it from the publishers, actually, who are Austin Macaulay. And I've got various bits of card here which have got the publisher's name on, if you want to take one of those and buy it from them. Or if all else fails, have a word with me and I'll source one for you.
How's that? Thank you very much.
Oh, and there's a Monday group, isn't there? It's going to be focusing on some of the characters each week through Lent, Monday morning. Yeah.
The Monday morning group that meets at 10 o'clock in the prayer room. Well, I hope we won't fit in the prayer room during Lent. I hope so many more people will want to come. It really is a very, very readable book. It's good. It'll make you think. So please, wouldn't it be wonderful if every single solitary person in this church was reading the same thing in Lent? But wouldn't it be good? And then when we came to have coffee after the services, you wouldn't talk about the price of peas and etc., etc. You'd say, hey, what did you make of what Rob said? We would very much like to restart the Wednesday night by Zoom study group. So if anybody would prefer to do it like that, then it won't happen unless you say something. There's no miracle going to happen, and boom. If that's what you want, tell me, and then we'll try and arrange it. Okay? Let's make Lent special. We have no minister at the minute, so it's up to us. Right? Up to us, each one of us. Thank you. So now, before we share lunch at 12 o'clock, I gather they are serving tea and coffee. Thank you to all those people who've spoken. Thank you.